If you would turn in your Bibles, I believe Brother Rob has been very gracious to help us. You see the outline. It's a brief outline of our message this morning. And I trust that you're preparing for a great Christmas season as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for your hospitality and certainly the musicians and ushers and each of you. We're looking at John chapter 1, verse 6, the Gospel of John. Then we'll turn over to Luke chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. And then we turn over to Luke chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at verse 67 to give us the context of our message. John chapter 1. We looked at now in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child continued to grow and to become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, your presence, your grace for your people. And we intercede for all in the body here, the local body, who are ill or struggling in life with life's problems. We pray especially for Pastor Ballard and to give him strength and renewal and help him with his improvement in health and for others. And thank you for each of the folks that are present. Lord, speak to our hearts. May we go out with a message, not only from our worship and our Sunday school and from prayers, but also from your word delivered even now. May Christ be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. This morning we're looking at John the Baptist. In fact, he's originally called John the Baptizer. And God is one who sends. And we see that our outline, the first Roman numeral 1, God is a sender of good and perfect gifts. You know, if you think about Christmas, we think about gift exchanging. And, of course, the greatest gift is God giving his son Jesus to be the Lord and Savior through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's the perfect gift. And so you and I can share the gospel. But as we exchange gifts, we always think about what should I give that person. You know, sometimes we might think a rotten egg and a piece of toast that's burned. Of someone maybe we don't care for, well, that wouldn't be very Christian. But to give them something that lets them know that we do love and appreciate them, it doesn't have to be something that puts us in great debt, but something that reflects our love and concern for them. And often the best gift we can have is give them the gospel and be their friend and to love them and to care for them. Well, John the Baptist was one whom God sent. God only sends things that are good, and he's a perfect God. He sent the angels to be our ministers. He sends his word to us. Thank you. He sends his word to us by way of the Holy Spirit and through the written word. And he sends men to be before us. This morning when I got a call from Jeff, I appreciated the call, and I said, oh, my goodness. We're sad that Brother Ballard is sick, but what am I going to preach on? Well, I happened to be working on something this week and got it completed, and so I'm trying it out on you. So if the offerings go up considerably, why, you know, I'll take credit. Not really. But God sends people, and God has sent you here this morning. Listen, it wasn't haphazard that you showed up at Eastview Baptist Church. Yes, you may have planned, and you may have thought about it, made it a last turn to come to Eastview Baptist. You've made a good choice, but it's not accidental. The Lord is in charge, and He does the sending. He does the giving. And He sent a man named John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, to be a witness for Jesus. Jesus is the light. And when Jesus came on the scene, that's exactly what John the Apostle recorded in John chapter 1, verse 6. Then there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. See, that's really what we are. We're kind of like moons. You know, the moon is like a satellite. It reflects the light from the sun. And the subject ought to be centered on the S-U-N. But spiritually, we need to focus Christmas on the S-O-N, the sun, and that we are not the light. He is, but we're to be the lights shining for Jesus in a world of darkness. And Jesus is the light. John the Baptist was a light. And they focused on him for the moment, as he himself was the forerunner of Christ, the Messiah. He was a preceder. He was an announcer, a get-ready-for-Jesus person. You know, whenever the President of the United States gives his annual State of the Union address, there's usually a lot of commotion going on and everything, getting all excited for the president to come out and speak. And then I believe it's the Speaker of the House that says, ladies and gentlemen, and et cetera, the President of the United States. And then people, of course, stand and applaud and give a very nice welcome. And then the President, in turn, speaks to the people and thanks them and begins his address. But think of this. What if you were the Speaker for the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus is coming to Belleville and the Metro East, and you were the one that the Lord was having to come and prepare the people and to speak that Jesus is coming. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be a great responsibility, but a great privilege? Now we who look back can say, Jesus the Christ has come. He's here, and He's available to all who will call upon Him. When Jesus came, He came and took on human form. We learned that in John 14, chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. But I want to read just verse 14, a very familiar passage for believers. And the Word, that's a big word for those who study the Bibles, the Logos, the eternal Word. Jesus is the eternal one, very God, who came and took on human flesh, yet He was without sin. And the Word became flesh and dwelt. He tabernacled. He lived among us. And we saw His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. My, that's such beautiful language. But Jesus was not created. Jesus is not and never has been an angel, according to some groups. But Jesus is, was, and always shall be very theos. He is very God who has come to live among us. And of course He died and arose again, and now He is with the Father until He is to come back a second time. What we call the advent, or the coming, the second advent, the second coming of Christ. Well, John the Baptist was one who was preceding Christ and announcing that Christ was on the way to come to earth. Now, Jesus was already alive, but John the Baptist was making public that Jesus is now making His ministry public. He's going to come forward and visit Israel. By the way, you may know that John the Baptist was a cousin to Jesus, and he was 6 months older than Jesus. God sent John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was called the prophet of the Most High. And we read that in Luke chapter 1, verse 76. John was a prophet. He was predicted to come according to Malachi 3:1. He is the New Testament Elijah. You might remember in the Old Testament that Elijah was the one who passed on the mantle to Elisha, but Elijah was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And a prophet is one who is a mouthpiece for God. Today, when we say prophet, we think of someone who's predicting the future. Well, there's what we call predictive prophecy. And then, of course, we have that which has already been stated, God's word, and that is the prophetic message that's already been given. And John the Baptist, or the baptizer, was a mouthpiece for God's truth. And there are many prophets in the Old Testament and numerous ones in the New Testament. Moses was even called a prophet, one who proclaimed on behalf of God. Are there any prophets in the church here? If you're saved, if you belong to Jesus, if you've been cleansed of your sins, you're a prophet. That means that you and I are to be a mouthpiece, a spokesperson for Jesus. Not only in saying to the world that he has come, but saying to those around us in our community that he not only has come, but he wants to come into people's lives. And we are to be spokespeople for the Lord and his truth. And there are true prophets and there are false prophets. True prophets tell that which is from Scripture and properly understood and lived out. A false prophet is one who says many things, but they do not live according to what the Bible says. Believers today, we are God's people to be spokespeople for him. John was to go before the Lord. That means he was to precede the Lord's coming to Israel and to prepare the ways of the Lord, to prepare people in the circumstances, to make known that Jesus was on his way. He was what we would call a town crier. You know, the British are coming, the British are coming, the Russians are coming, the Cardinals will be here. That would really get attention in this area. A town crier, one who would announce to the people something that would be of interest. John the Baptizer had a purpose. He wasn't without credentials. He was called of God. He was sent of God. And he was to preach the gospel about the Lord Jesus. And he was to give knowledge of salvation to his people. In verse 77 of Luke 1. To give his people the knowledge of salvation. To tell them that Jesus is the Savior. Messiah means the anointed one, the Christ. The word Jesus, in the Old Testament, they used the word Joshua, is the Savior. And so that Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, is coming. And that is to be our message, to tell people that he has come and that he is the one who has died for our sins. He is the one who has been buried, was buried for 3 days and 3 nights, and that he was to arise and rise again from the grave. And then, of course, he ascended to the Father to continue heavenly ministry. But he's coming back one of these days. It's not very long. John the Baptizer proclaimed to people that they could have forgiveness of sins through preaching salvation through Jesus the Messiah. You know, the Holy Spirit is called a counselor, a comforter. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Now, I believe in good, godly counselors. I believe there ought to be some limits and different things that I would like to add to that sometime. But I believe in good, godly counselors. But sometimes counselors, very often, they can't solve our problems. They give us comfort, encouragement, and a sense of direction, and to help us to evaluate where we are, where we've been, what we want to do, what we need to do and change. But only until Jesus, the divine one, the very God, the very Christ, comes and forgives us of our sins, only then are we in a position to be at peace with God and at peace with one another. And that's really what counseling is. Ultimately, it is to help us to be at peace with who we are and at peace with the Lord Jesus, if it's Christian counseling, and then to help others to find peace through Christ. John the Baptist was one who not only told people how to have eternal life, but he talked to them about repentance. Now, we as believers, we know that to receive Christ involves repentance, but a lot of people, when they hear the gospel, as we often share it, we leave out that word repentance as if somehow it no longer belongs. But yet John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, talked about repentance in the Gospel of Matthew. It was John the Baptizer who said in Matthew 3, verses 4, "Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan as they confessed their sins." See, that's what conversion is. It's when we hear the gospel, and we learn that we're sinners, and we learn that Jesus is the Savior who died for our sins. That is the gospel. That is the knowledge of salvation. And then our need to turn from sin. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 5, "Except ye repent, ye shall all perish." And in Acts 3:19, we read where Peter had said, "Repent, repent of your sins, and those sins will be blotted out." And that we must do a godly repentance, not just feel sorry, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:10, but to actually turn away from our sins. You know, John the Baptist, the baptizer, was a real Baptist. He went to a dance and lost his head. Now, you'll have to read about that in Matthew 14. But John the Baptizer had made it known that Herod's wife was, well, he was doing some sin. And Herodias was upset about it and said, "I want John the Baptist, the baptizer's head." And she got his head on a platter, literally. He was beheaded. So to be a Baptist is dangerous enough. But if your name is John, you got to be real careful. And if you're a believer and you share the gospel, suffering may come because of that. But in the long haul, people will be saved, Christ will be honored, and you will be rewarded. So it's not a bad thing to share the gospel at your dance or anywhere else we are, and to live that gospel and share that gospel. John the Baptizer was faithful. What was behind all of these things? As we see where God is the sender of good and perfect gifts, he sent John the prophet of the Most High. He was representing the Lord. It was God's mercy. God's mercy can be defined God's grace in action. God's mercy is God's grace in action. God is always showing mercy toward us, even when we don't even realize it. And John the Baptizer, the name John means the Lord is gracious. And God's saving grace, his gracious message, is centered in Christ, his Son. And so Jesus very much is one who is full of grace and truth, John the Apostle said in John chapter 1, verse 17. Habakkuk in the Old Testament, the great prophet, prayed, "In wrath, Lord, remember mercy." Habakkuk 3:2. And as we think about Christmas, we need to think about God's mercy. That God's mercy came to us, and full of mercy and full of grace and full of truth, centered in Christ the Messiah. And to meditate upon God's mercy. And God's mercy can be had by any one of us through our trust in Jesus, the Messiah. We need to rejoice this Christmas season that God, the sender of Jesus, the Messiah, has shown his mercy to us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, when Peter makes a statement about God's mercy, he makes several statements, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The preachers may preach, and we need to preach and proclaim to be a herald. A kerygma was the word used in the New Testament. One who would cry out the gospel, the good news, as John the Baptist did, as Jesus did, and as the disciples, the apostles did. But we're to do the same thing. But we're to include the mercy, because it is according to his great mercy, God's great mercy, that has caused us to be born again. Have you ever had a flat tire? I hope we don't have any flat tires when we get out to our cars and trucks, bicycles. But, you know, when you have a flat tire and you really aren't feeling well and you're behind time and a good Samaritan comes along and helps us to change that tire, we are so grateful. We want to do something to that person. Here's $5, or here's a free soda, or here's my number. Call me and we can do something to return the kindness. We want to show our gratitude. You know, that's what God's mercy does. When it is working in his grace, when they're working together in our lives, in our hearts, and we're focused on Christ, even at Christmas season, and thinking about what the Lord is doing and has done for us, we want to express our gratitude. And so we say, we want to receive your mercy, O Lord, that was fully exposed at Calvary, where you died for us, where you bore my sins. All my guilt and my shame were upon you and that of the whole world. And it motivates us to believe the gospel and causes us to be born into the kingdom. And not only that, but to have the living hope, knowing that Jesus arose from the dead, and this life is not the end, it's the beginning, but a greater life that is to come. God's mercy was available through the message that John the Baptizer shared. And then finally, God not only sent his mercy through true prophets, but he sent the Messiah to give both light and peace to humankind. We live in a dark world, our dark world that's full of sin and disappointment. I was watching a program last night of a particular criminal. I don't know what state he was in. It was late. I just happened to turn on the TV to see if there's any politicians on. No, I wasn't looking for the politicians, just something to kind of give me a break. And reading and watching a tragic story of a person who's a very bad person and how he would kidnap and do things. And I thought, my, what a very depraved and sinful world we live in. But you know, I have met the world's greatest sinner. And I can introduce you to that person if you'd like to meet that person. Let me know. But I have a feeling that you may have met a great sinner too. All we have to do is look in our mirrors, and we'll find, if we're honest before God and before each other, that we all have sinned and broken the laws of God, that none of us are perfect. How could any of us get into heaven, a perfect place that requires perfection? None of us could qualify. We put all of our goods together, could never come close before a holy, perfect God. But someone showed mercy. Someone sent the Messiah, Jesus, to pay for our sins. And through the paying of our sins, he became light to our world of darkness. He became the Prince of Peace for those who had no peace. And then he becomes the giver of peace to all who will trust him, John 14:27. I trust this morning that you, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have never trusted the Messiah, you'll hear the message of John the Baptizer. You'll hear the message of Paul, the message of Peter, the message of all the New Testament writers and those who gave prophecies of the Old Testament. And hear the message of true prophets of today. Hear the Word of God that gives faith. Hear the Spirit of God that calls us to salvation. Cry out to the Lord even now, O Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner on my way to a devil's hell. I'm lost and unhappy in a dark, terrible world. Lord, show me the light of the gospel that will renew me in hope and that will birth me into your kingdom when I turn from my sins and I look to you for grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and give me that assurance. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, we come before you thanking you for speaking to us and for your presence. And, oh, Lord, we pray this hour will be an hour, a moment, in which we will call out upon you if we never have before, calling upon your name to be saved from our sins, and then to publicly come before the church and to identify with the confession of our sins, receiving forgiveness and desiring to obey in baptism as a sign or an illustration that our faith is real. Oh, Lord, there may be others who are looking for a church to unite with. May this be the moment that you will speak and we will come. For special prayer, our special praise and testimony for Jesus. Lord, whatever you would have us to do, may this be the moment as we sing our invitational hymn, number 321, Because the Savior is Waiting. Let's stand and let's hear and sing to the Lord.